Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. Oh, no, 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 no. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. The NBA, college basketball, NHL, yes, golf. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big DraftKings, FanDuel, whatever. No, 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 no. Johnny come latelys. My bookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules, you name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. Now, make sure you read the rules on payouts regarding bonus wagering. It does require certain levels of wagering to collect your money, but if you just want to bet straight up, you don't want the deposit, you want to make a one-time bet for $1 million, win it, and then walk away, fine. You can do that as well. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. Listeners have been emailing me about their great experiences when they visited a Tecovas store, the company renowned for upholding timeless traditions and delivering top-notch quality in every pair of cowboy boots. If you haven't experienced their exceptional craftsmanship firsthand, why wait any longer? Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have custom leather branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Today on the ZABEcast, it was a gut punch news break Tuesday. Tiger Woods in a serious car accident again. Power Lunch Tuesday, we saw former Capital and current studio analyst Alan May join the Free Hugs and Candy Van with me and Carol to talk about being 165-pound enforcer in the NHL. All that plus flopping just went next level. Your 45-minute dose of pure me is locked and loaded, so buckle up and let's go.
Here we go.
Wednesday, February 24th, 2021. Thank you for downloading. The bulk of today's ZABEcast is going to be the conversation in the van with Alan May and Carol Maloney. Now, before you say, ooh, hockey, we don't talk much nerdy hockey or inside hockey. I think the non-hockey fan will actually very much enjoy it. But, of course, as I just got done wrapping the podcast and driving home from the Palm restaurant where we had our power lunch, our usual Tuesday spot, I hear the news about Tiger Woods and I go, okay, well, shit. Putting this podcast to bed at a nice comfortable hour at 4 p.m. is not going to happen because I got to wait to see what is going to happen with Tiger Woods. So I sat around, I actually took a nap on the couch. I was feeling under the weather for whatever reason, perhaps travel, who knows. It's not COVID. I've already had it. Had COVID, had murder hornets, had everything. I was just feeling under the weather, so I went and lay down on the couch, and I sort of drifted in and out of consciousness listening to ESPN's coverage of the Tiger Woods crash. And I would open one eye, and I would see they're using the same helicopter shots of the car and everything else. I got to give a little bit of credit to ESPN. It's very hard to do constant breaking news when there's no news to actually break and you've got nothing to add to the actual facts of the story, as they're waiting for the sheriff's press conference at 6 p.m. Eastern time, which they finally got. So you have to sort of, you know, stretch it out, repeat what you saw, repeat what you know, bring your experts on the scene. They had Shelley Smith go, because she lives in L.A., get close as she could to the accident scene, describe the road. And they, of course, brought on their other high-priced pundit, Stephen A. Smith, Michael Wilbon, and others to talk about things. And, of course, they'd had to bring in, you know, Tiger Woods made golf acceptable to black people. And I'm like, okay, whatever. It's not like no black people played golf before Tiger Woods in 97, but I get it. And so they covered it as best they could with really taking very few commercial breaks, I think. But we didn't really learn much. Other than that, the initial report that the jaws of life were required to take him out was incorrect. So often is the case, there's a report, there's a factoid, and then it turns out, oh, wait a minute, no, that was not the case. They used like a pry bar and an axe, and they got him out. And he was lucid. The other thing we thought was, oh, is he hepped up on goofballs again? Because the interview he did with Jim Nance on Sunday night at the end of the Genesis Open, which he is the presenting sponsor or the tournament host, as you were, he did not sound all that coherent. He did not look all that coherent. Now, he may still be in constant pain due to this latest back surgery. He may still be dabbling in powerful medication to manage the pain. And so, of course, we thought, was he hepped up on something that caused him to lose control and have his car flip and roll something ridiculous like 700 feet, I think the number was. Doesn't look like that's the case right now, but we've got to see more. They said he sounded lucid and coherent. He was awake when they got to him, asked what's your name? And he said, Tiger. And the officer was like, oh, I know you. And so we're still learning more. How bad are the leg injuries? Is it a broken ankle? Is it something more severe? Don't know. Don't know. Don't know. I can't wait all night to find out more details. I think you understand that and appreciate that. So that's the Tiger thing right there. Obviously, you know, prayers up for, you know, El Gato. I think everybody would like to see him play again and win again, even if it's not a major, just somewhere, anywhere. And now that is in serious doubt. It does look like this is not going to be a fatal car crash. He does not appear to be paralyzed. God forbid I even say that in any way, shape, or form. It's easy for me to minimize. It's like, oh, he just has a couple of broken legs or a couple of broken bones in his legs. What's the big deal? Well, it's not the big deal to me. I'm not going to be in the hospital. I'm not going to have to rehab. I'm not going to have all these surgeries that could lead to staph infections like Alex Smith, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm not trying to imply he's out of the woods, but at least the worst possible outcome seemingly has been avoided so far. But we shall see. I have, you know, early hot take. It's hard to believe that you add this to what was already a very challenging back situation, which was not going to get better. He was just going to have to manage it the best he could as he tiptoed through his 40s to try to play golf at a competitive high level. Hard to believe that this car accident, with the complications that it presents, doesn't represent probably a ending blow to his competitive career. But I'm not saying that it will or that it is, because I don't want to go against Tiger again. Just like I should not have gone against Alex Smith, who was also in the news on Tuesday. A sit-down interview he did with GQ has what some people believe are pretty inflammatory and bitter comments towards the Washington football team over him supposedly not being wanted this past year. And that he said, I quote, definitely threw a wrench into their plans. He kind of sounded the note that, you know, they were trying to stiff arm him, or I think he called it high arm him, and that they tried to put him on the PUP list. Didn't really want him there. I don't know what it would have hurt or what it would have done to hit them cap-wise to put him, to just cut him. I said you should cut him before he tries to make a comeback way back in the spring. They didn't. They kept him on the roster. They allowed him to be activated. I don't know how that is them not wanting him there. When he did come in and play, and when Ron Rivera saw how he was able to play and to run the offense, they said, you know, in the wake of the Kyle Allen injury after Dwayne Haskins had shit the bed, I thought they were pretty fully invested in Alex Smith. And he won the biggest game of the year, I thought, on the road in Pittsburgh against a then undefeated team in which this football team said, you know what, we could do something. We might be able to do so. We might be able to somehow claw our way to a 7-9 division championship. And they did. But Alex Smith sucked in the Eagles game. And there's no way that he would have been very good, I think, in the playoff game against Brady. And if he was bitter that he didn't get the start in that game after all he's been through, that's, you know, tough luck. Heinicke came in and he played like a house on fire. He played fantastic. Look, I want to still love Alex Smith, and I do. I just sense that this is a little bit of now him realizing, fuck, this team doesn't want me for next year. They don't believe in me for next year, and therefore my career is, in fact, over, because what other team is going to take a chance on him? So perhaps the frustration of realizing that, he's now, I don't know, coping by lashing out at the Redskins or the Wolfskins or whatever. I don't think it's as big a deal as some people are making it. Speaking of not a big deal, the NBA All-Star Game starters came out. And, of course, people are going to say, oh, what about this guy? I am not going to do that. I'm not that much of an NBA All-Star head. But you can do that online to your heart's content. I did see where Chris Middleton of the Milwaukee Bucks did not get included. And there's some people bitching about that. Hey, he got paid a max deal. Everybody who watches the Bucks play know how good he is. He is in Giannis's shadow, no question about it. It's funny that most of these players don't want to go to the All-Star game. So if a guy gets snubbed, at least providing he doesn't have a huge bonus in there, he should say, thank God. It's like not getting invited to a wedding you never wanted to go to in the first place. So have at the NBA All-Star snubs as much as you like. Okay, Tuesdays are Power Lunch Tuesdays. Myself, Carol Maloney, and a third wheel guest join us in the Free Hugs and Candy Van, also known as the Mobile Strike Studios, the Ram 2500. I've got a Ram 2500 and a Ram 1500. The Ram 2500 van. And Alan May was our guest today. And for anyone who knows this market, D.C., and has watched Capitals games and post-game shows with Alan May, they know who he is. He's very good on TV. He was an enforcer in the NHL. And you look at him and you look at his size now, he's still seemingly in fighting trim, so to speak. You say, how were you an enforcer? Well, if you want to go to YouTube and check out some of his fights, trust me, Alan May is all over there. We talked about a bunch of things in hockey, out of hockey, and more. I thought it was a great conversation. Here it was. Take a listen.
Right? That's how it works. All right. Alan May is with us in the Free Hugs and Candy Van. He does studio work at NBC Sports Washington for the Washington Capitals. Played for the Capitals from what year to what year again?
89 to 95. It was a way other life, a past life, I call it.
89 to 95. Yeah. And I went out to the Capitol Center back in the day, Carol, with my buddy Andy Janowiak in his green Pontiac GTO that his parents bought him. He was kind of rich. He lived in Great Falls. He had season tickets to the Capitals. And we would go out there. We'd get our homework done real quick in high school. We'd rush out to the Cap Center. We'd stop at the Popeyes in Lanham to get food right before we went there. And we would watch guys like Alan May and Rod Langway and Bengt Gustafsson and my guy Mike Gartner, and it was good times.
What was the atmosphere like compared to Verizon?
I loved it. It was always loud. It was always sold out when I played. It was blue collar hockey. They loved the hitting and fighting, and the boards were conducive to. It was like a big bass drum on a hit. There was no. It wasn't as polite as it is now, and there were. It was always the embers were always burning for something physical, and the place just reacted to it. They loved hardcore hockey.
That was your specialty.
It was. And, well, you thrive on it in good environments, in a fun environment. So it was absolutely spectacular.
What did you consider yourself when you played? You weren't an enforcer, per se.
They labeled me as that.
They did?
Well, I had my first 4 years of pro hockey at 1,600 penalty minutes. And and I led every league in fighting majors. And I think it's...
I was kind of cantankerous
the way I played. And then because I didn't weigh a whole lot, people thought they'd fight the guy with the skinny neck, and then they'd get their ass kicked. So it was...
What did you play? What was your best scoring season?
In the NHL?
Yeah.
Not pretty. 7 goals, 10 assists.
Okay. And most years you'd be good for how many goals? 3 or 4?
5, 6, 7, whatever, okay. Yeah.
Just banging, cleaning up stuff?
Well, I played third and fourth line mostly, yeah. And then it was – the roles were more defined back then, and it was – I was like seek and destroy. I was consumed with hitting, playing like a linebacker kind of. And then you have to be responsible in your positioning, and you don't ever want to become domesticated in the way you play.
Domesticated.
And because there are guys that score goals. There was, you know, in my era, there was Dino Cicerelli, and Mike Gartner was gone, Peter Bonder. They were paid to score goals. I was paid to create mayhem and stick up for teammates. So yep. You just have to figure out, because when I was a kid, I was a goal scorer. As a junior hockey player, I was a goal scorer. And I also had a chip on my shoulder. So, to me, fighting was never something I had to take a deep breath to do. I was just like, all right, here we go.
I meant to say where did you play? I meant to say, what did you weigh when you played?
When I first got to the NHL, I weighed 168 pounds.
Oof.
And 168 pounds.
Well, believe me, I wasn't skinny, though, because I overtrained so bad. And it wasn't until I was 23 or 24 that I cut the 8 to 10 hour a day of working out down to 2 hours, two to three hours, and it made
Of working out a day.
I was OCD big time. I thought the more I did, the bigger the muscles would get. I didn't realize what I was doing to myself.
And what did happen after 8 hours? Like you're saying,
physically,
I would consume about 4,000 to 5,000 calories a day and never gain a pound. And
how'd you work out?
I skipped for 90 minutes a day. I did a slide board for 90 minutes a day. I boxed 15 to 30 rounds a day. I had weight routines.
30 rounds and of boxing a day. No wonder why he kicked everyone's ass.
But
right,
I did it more. I did it more for conditioning. And I was just thinking, the more I do, the bigger I'll get. And you know, the muscle it made the strongest was my brain, because there was no quit. Really, I'm always proud of the fact that I could never throw in the towel in practice. I would never miss a training day. I worked out 7 days a week. I started the first Monday after every season, unless it ended on a Sunday. And if it did end on a Sunday, then I had a good week of partying before the following Monday.
Did you get along with the guys who didn't have that work ethic, who were pretty boy type?
Nah, you know what?
Guys?
Back when I first started, there was a lot of my first NHL training camp, I was surprised at all the guys with beer bellies that had the lake body from water skiing and drinking beer all summer, or
the
golfing.
Lake.
And
I've never heard
or the golf guys. And you know, so I never got into golf, because one time that I did go to play golf, and my dad saw me, I was 18 or 19 after the draft, and my dad goes, "Where the hell are you going dressed like that?" And I said, "I'm going golfing with the guys." He said, "Which guys?" I told him, he's drafted, and he goes, "Like F you are." He goes, "Get your ass to the gym." So I went to the gym, and I'm proud to say that this worked out very, very well. Not, I played at every level of pro hockey. I played more than that group of guys combined.
Oh, there you go.
At
nice.
The lowest level, at the mid level, and at the highest level.
Is there one fight you regret?
Actually, there's one fight, and I hurt the guy really bad, and I think his career ended shortly thereafter. But I found out this burned a hole in me forever, and actually, I just got off my chest about 6 months ago, I guess, and it was, I found out this kid's mom had passed away unexpectedly a couple weeks before, and it always bothered me that there's no way he should. I was mad at his team. I was mad at his coach. His general, he shouldn't have been playing, from what I know now, and I felt so bad because I hurt him bad in the fight, and then a couple weeks later, I saw him pass out while skating back for a puck and careen into the boards, and that was basically the end of him. The good news is, he flies around in private jets now, and he's done incredibly well. But I had to get it off my chest, because it was like, just it bothered me.
Was it my Jeff? Was it Jeff Pookaboom?
No, it wasn't Jeff. It was
I googled Alan May, and it says fights.
Yeah,
and you want Alan May fights? Oh yeah, I want Alan May fights.
Well, they're not all pretty, but I'm trying to think if that was the game he tried to steal my skate as I was punching him. But it was a guy named Jeff, and my friend coached his son in the National Hockey League. So I ended up, you know, just communicating with him and told him how much it bothered me. So we've agreed when we're in the same zip code, we're going for beers from now on.
Do you think he's going to sucker punch you once, though?
Nah, his life has been really, really good. And he's a good man. His kids are great. They're beautiful. I just want to go visit him at his house because it looks spectacular.
Yeah. By the way, look at this. Alan May versus Ty Domi, Carol.
Oh, these aren't pretty.
Are these on YouTube?
Oh, yeah.
They're all over YouTube. I'm trying to think. I can't remember all these fights.
Ty Domi was legendary, Carol. Do you know Ty Domi as a fighter?
Not as a fighter. I mean, I was way too young. I'm way too young to remember watching this live. But
Ty Domi, who else is in the pantheon of fighters in NHL history?
Bob Probert, Dave Brown, Dave Semenko.
Yeah, Cementhead Semenko.
He was my all-time favorite. And this kid.
This says Ty Domi round four.
Yeah,
you had a series of fights.
Well, he was one of those guys that did all that. Like he win or lose, he did the same thing because there's a couple fights where you could go back on him, and he got his ass severely kicked, and he'd still do the same thing. So, the hard part about fighting him was you could punch him as hard as you wanted. Like at least for me,
and it wouldn't take him down.
It wouldn't do anything to him. He'd be sitting there. After this fight, I hit him at the start of this fight a bunch of times, and then he was in there just nothing happened.
Yeah, no big deal. And that pisses you off, right?
No, it was just
like, I didn't get under his skin at all.
No, so I was hitting him at the start, nailing it really well, and he was so much stronger than me. He doesn't hit me there. He just knocks me off balance in this one, and he just, I don't know what it was, but he had traps and he had pecs, and I saw him once. I think I saw him the game before this with a shirt off down in the back tunnel of the old U.S. Airways Arena.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what the f- is that? I couldn't believe like how thick this guy was. He probably outweighed me by 50 pounds, and he was 6 or 7 inches shorter, it seemed like.
He also had that crazy guy look. You just look at his face.
He's an Albanian destroyer. He was, you know what? Yeah. I do admire the guy. He was a really, really bad hockey player the first time I saw him. And at the end, he played a lot longer than I did. He ended up being absolutely, I thought, incredible. I thought all of his skills, he worked hard. He made himself a boatload of money, played a long time. All of his teammates loved him. And I think after that game or one of the next games, I was in the China Club on a Monday night in New York. It was the best night to go to the China Club. The next thing you know, I turn around and we're together in the bar. And he goes, what are you having? And, you know, it's just like typical hockey guys.
Yeah.
And
so that's so funny.
So then, and we
fought. Hey, you look over, you're like, oh, it's Ty Domi. Yeah. You and I were fighting a couple nights ago.
But what you do when you're with guys like that is you don't talk about the scrap. You don't talk about any of that. You know everything about each other, and you just laugh about it, drink some beers, rums, vodkas, tequilas, whatever it is, and then you go your separate ways. And the next game, I think nowadays they're different. They'd probably tweet each other.
I was going to say, what's the state of fighting now? In the NHL.
It's almost gone. It's almost extinct. Yeah. And
is that a good thing?
Nah. You know what? I think they did it smarter when I played, and my era was supposedly more violent. But I think guys, you might have three fights in a season, and a guy's hurt in all three fights. Their techniques are horrible. I don't think it's the way we used to do it was a lot different. It was like, it was part stick up for your teammates. And the thing that really pisses me off when I watch the games is they now have a 4-minute penalty for high sticking, and if a player has a drop of blood, have you ever seen that? And they go like this.
Yeah,
I think you should get a penalty
if you have to touch your face to get the blood
for being a wimp or a mama's boy on that one and looking for the blood. And how it used to happen, you didn't have it as much because if someone touched your face with a stick, the gloves came off.
Yeah.
So the game was safer that way.
Right.
If you hit someone from behind, all five guys jumped on you. Now everyone's looking at the ref. No one does anything.
Yeah.
And I think it makes the game more dangerous when you don't have to worry about the Grim Reapers on the other team.
But obviously the league felt like, look, we want to get this out of the game.
It looks good. But what happens the other night in one of the games, I think the outdoor game had a bunch of fights the other night. Mm-hmm. And people still stand up and love it. And I'm not trying to be a dinosaur about it because I think about all these rule changes. And I think they've over-rotated on a lot of it. And more players are hurt more severely now. I believe concussions are probably up from where they used to be.
Really?
And I think that
because of why?
I think the speed of the game, guys jumping off their skates to make hits. I never jumped off my skates that I know of to make a hit. We tried to use the boards. We corralled players. It was a different game, but also the coaches ruined the game. They ruined fighting, and they ruined they call it the dead puck era. Coaches got too smart, and they took all the offense out of the game. And rather than taking a couple,
puck era.
It's back when everyone was skating backwards in the neutral zone. It was that era, that part where the Caps went
left
before
left wing lock.
Well, it's even worse than that. Left wing lock's not bad because there's still free ice. But the old way was hooking and holding, five guys in the middle, and it was based off a basketball trap. And I think it was Rudy Tomjanovich taught Jacques Lemaire, who was the coach of the New Jersey Devils. As soon as they won the Cup in '95, everyone started to do it. And it just screwed over hockey. And then the playoffs, a lot of teams are just scrapping. But in the early 2000s, if you couldn't coach, you just coached the trap. And it kind of sucked to watch. And I couldn't watch hockey for a while back then.
Mm. Well, I just think that, you know, also the research that's done on brains, it's harder to watch see guys getting, you know, smashed in the face just because of what we know.
You know what? So everyone that played, I'm not going to say everyone, but my era of players and older, they're not walking around like zombies. They all played the game. A lot of guys played the games without buckets. They didn't have face shields. I wore a face shield one game because I had a broken nose.
And,
You felt like a pussy doing it.
And I re-injured my nose from missing a hit and I smushed my nose in the glass.
So didn't even help you.
And the visor. Yeah, so anyways, but the players are healthy. And I think a lot of guys that do have serious problems, it's drug and alcohol as well. So it's but now everyone's looking for what's wrong with me. They're making blame. But I'm telling you, all of my friends, all my teammates, guys are healthy.
That's good.
They're happy. They've got name recollection. They thrive at life. So I don't buy all of the arguments and just throwing everything in one basket.
And how does it change the game now when you have like a Tom Wilson out there where guys are always knowing where he is, knowing he could go?
Everyone's scared of him. So it makes his game a lot easier. I think that's why he's able to play the game. He's an intelligent kid, and he's able to play the game a different way now. That if he was playing when I played, he wouldn't be getting 25 goals.
Really?
Yeah, because he'd have to dance every game. He'd have to drop his gloves.
So you'd be running at him.
And
other guys
would
be
all over. Yeah. Well, we used the game notes that we have before every game. You know, in the press room, you go there.
That.
You go in the what we used to do when we go to the dressing room, you went on and you go, oh, lefty, righty. And I remember playing a preseason game one year in Albany, New York, playing the New York Rangers in a brand new arena. And you used to play in preseason all these obscure towns, maybe 10 to 13 preseason games, which were bloodbaths. And, you know, teams, I think the New York Rangers used to have like 200 guys in training camp. Most teams would be smart and only have about 50. And we went into this game, and I didn't know who any of the other guys were. And our player personnel, director of player personnel, goes, lefty, righty, hugger, you know, doesn't want to fight. He's a grappler, throws with both. And I just go to him. I go, who's the toughest? And he goes, he is. So first shift of the game, I run after this guy as hard as I can.
It's like prison rules.
Yeah. Well,
first day in prison, go after the toughest guy
out
there.
So that's what I did, and I ended up scoring two goals. That game was first star in a preseason game, so that, you know, no big deal. But after I get in the dressing room after the game, Jack Button goes, that's one of the best things I've ever seen. And I said, cut off the head of the snake. I said, or fight all 12 guys and maybe lose a couple on the way up. No way. Just went after the guy. And then your attitude is you're invincible at the time. If you're good at it and you're not. So I never went into a game being scared. I was just thinking of what I could do right. Attitude's everything with how you approach it.
So funny. I was at a Milwaukee Admirals game about a year ago. Yes, have at that water. Go ahead. And I got to sit. I was manning the penalty box, which was cool because the Admirals are like, hey, you know, you want to do that? I'm like, of course I do. So this is minor league hockey, but it's really good hockey up in front of your face. And I couldn't forget one guy on the opposing team apparently had enough of somebody else. And I'm watching them skate a couple shifts up and back, not shifts, but a couple of up and backs. And I could tell something was about to happen. And then all it took was like a little look like this, little nod of the head, boom. Gloves, sticks, and it was on. And I asked the guy when he got in the box, I was like, what was that all about? He's like, it goes back three games ago. So those are the kind of things that get settled, right?
Absolutely. I saw something the other day that it was on the NBC broadcast, and they said, well, hockey players have short memories. I was like, No, we don't. No. I remember, you know, in the playoffs, you don't have a lot of fighting. And I remember guys that would all of a sudden, they had muscles because there wasn't any fighting. They were all of a sudden 2 inches taller, 40 inches more, 40 pounds more muscle. And I would remember, I'm going to get that little bastard. Next year's first chance, first game, I'd beeline right for those guys who are mouthy behind the refs and jabbing their stick in there. So it's just, you couldn't let players get away with it.
Speaking of fighting, did you see this bathroom fight between the Oklahoma football player? Here it is right here. You can watch it with me. But this was apparently the guy that got his ass kicked. It almost lost an eye. So he got
the
really messed up.
Player.
The football player did.
He had surgery yesterday.
But I'd say here is the first tip for any guy who thinks he's really tough. If there's a guy smaller than you and you're starting to chirp at him and he's not backing down, that's sign number one that he might be a badass. Number two, look for the cauliflower ears. That's another sign you might not want to mess with him.
Yeah.
Because when this thing got ugly, I mean, it was pretty bad. Of course, it's in a bathroom. They're all rolling around in piss, which is disgusting. Yeah. Even the guy who won the fight, it's like, great, now you're covered in piss.
The guy who won it didn't start it.
The other guy gave him the green light, and I don't know what's going to end up happening here, but he gave him, once he touched him, he made himself available to get his ass kicked.
Well, that's something about hockey. They keep the fighting to the ice. Did you ever get picked on, like off ice, by some?
You just learn to avoid. I was lucky because I could take out my frustrations with life on the ice too. I could go into a game and hit someone at whatever speed we skated at, and you just know, you knew to avoid the stuff off the ice.
But somebody had to see you and be like, "Oh, I'm gonna get."
Oh, there's jackasses. Like my hometown, I called the bar bump. And
where's your hometown?
Edmonton. And I would just laugh at them.
Because they'd be like, oh, Alan Mays here, Mr. NHLer. I like a run at him.
Well, it happens a lot back home where people do that. And you just have, it's just like a life discipline. You know, you can't do those things. And, you know, now especially, could you imagine all of these things happen? And it's on social media in a heartbeat. It within 2 seconds of it happening.
And how old are you now?
56.
When was your last fight?
Oh, it's been a while. I don't know. It's been a long time. Yeah.
After you retired?
Oh, I had one in an alumni game. I had a hockey fight in an alumni game.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Who'd you fight?
Kevin Killer Kaminsky.
In an alumni
and someone sent me the picture. He's selling his alumni jersey, for that game, and it's covered in blood. And he goes, from a tilt with my buddy Al May. So.
So you bloodied him up in an alumni game.
It was supposed to be fun, and I knew he's got a screw loose, hence his nickname is Killer. But he wanted to have a fight, and I knew he was squirrely, and I knew I didn't want to, really. I was like, oh, this little... Because he was a little too jacked up for the game. It's just an alumni game.
Right,
it's a bunch of old guys trying to have fun and score some goals. And the next thing you know, we dropped the gloves, and he jersey punched me right in my nose. He grabbed my jersey right here and just slammed when I dropped it. So I just started.
So in other words, he grabbed your jersey and then with one move,
it was kind of his left jab.
Oh, okay.
It's on there. It's on your computer.
It is.
The alumni fight.
Yeah.
Killer Kaminsky, Alan May.
So the worst thing about it was as we were going down, his eyes shut and his knees buckled, and I went down on top of him, and then he was out for a second, and then he tried to. I don't know why he did it, but he tried to grab my face, so I grabbed him.
There it is right there.
Yeah, that's at MedStar. And so he kept coming up to me before the game, between periods. So this is the third period, and he wanted to fight. And so I knew. You can see where his jersey is. Whoa. And then. So he ended up with like a 1-inch gash on his eye. His face ends up being covered in blood, and he's the happiest guy in the world. He's the happiest.
Happy got into a scrap.
Yeah, and he's happy. And my nose was bothering me. And then the guys are. I was like, oh man, everyone's going to be mad at me. The best thing is that the Bruce Boudreau. The team was in Chicago that night in a preseason game, and Bruce Boudreau goes. I think Mike Vogel asked him, who's a Caps senior media guy. He asked him. He goes, oh, there was an actual real fight in the alumni game today. And he goes, I know, it was probably May and Kaminsky, and I hope May kicked his ass. I hate that little bastard.
So he knew exactly who it was. Yeah. All right, let's pivot to the outdoor game in Lake Tahoe. What'd you guys think?
I loved it. I think it was the coolest thing, and it was the closest thing to a real outdoor game, minus the ice melting, but I'm going to let that indiscretion pass because Mother Nature always wins. But by the time it was midnight, I was still watching that game, so it was the longest game
Carol,
ever.
Carol, what do you think?
I mean, does it add to the challenge of planning for future since you are at the mercy of Mother Nature? And I know rain is the worst enemy.
You know
right?
what? I don't think they had that rink set up as long as the other ones when they came to Nats Park. I think it was there about a week, and I'm not sure the time frame of it, but – you know what? It's something to do with the technology. It was melting where the signs are, the mesh signs, like the advertising. Those areas melted. And I've always thought you should play at night anyways. I think the visuals are better as far as
really?
In a football stadium. But for that,
You wanted to see the lake. I thought the visuals in daytime were some of the most spectacular things I'd ever seen. I was like, wow.
Especially
Because
our TVs
the game
now.
Didn't look as great on Sunday night. Because at the start of it did, but the sun was in the players' eyes.
Right.
But still, that's, you know, part of we skated outside, and you had sun in your eyes.
So when you grew up, how often did you play outside?
Every single day.
Every day.
And I didn't play in an indoor arena until I was 12 years old or 13.
Wow.
And I played every elementary school where I grew up had two outdoor rinks at it. One was like a public skating, and the other was for playing hockey.
But they're rinks. They're not lakes.
No, and I did that, and I did that at my grandparents' farm, and I did we all do that. But the big thing is the outdoor rinks in your hometowns, and there's literally hundreds of them. And
how do they maintain outdoor rinks with a full Zamboni?
No. Well, snow blowers and shovels.
Okay.
And but back when I played, say I was 8 years old, the parents would get out with these big ice, I don't know what you call them, basically a really wide shovel, like
just,
it's big scrapers, and then the unfortunate parents had to do the thing over the boards, and there were no boards on the sides. And
okay.
I kid you not, when I was in junior high school, my dad would come to the outdoor rink where I lived on Fridays and Saturdays or holidays at Christmas, and we would be out there at 3, 4, and 5 in the morning. We'd never go inside. And
wow.
The reason you'd keep playing, because you knew your shoes were so damn frozen. That you did. And then you put your shoes on, and you'd sprint home as far, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 blocks, whatever you lived.
Right, because your hockey skates were at least warm and sweaty.
Yeah, because you're going the whole time.
Yeah. In Iowa, it's cold enough for outdoor rinks, obviously. And my dad's neighbor has one built behind.
You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Behind and they're out there late. I mean, this is Iowa now. Right. This is just a bunch of people goofing off.
Does this happen now, though, in today's
in my hometown? In my hometown, yes.
It does.
I don't know if they play games outside anymore, but when I go back in the winter, the outdoor rinks. And, you know, one of the coolest things I saw was about 5 or 6 years ago with the Caps. We flew into Montreal on a Friday afternoon, and it was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And you could see the outdoor rinks all over the city. And in some, there were literally 50 kids. Others, there were 6 and 7 or adults even. But as we flew into the city, it was so cool to see all the people outside doing that.
That is cool.
It's still the best form of recreation to me.
The rink, though, next door to my hometown or my where I grew up, the boards were about, I would say, 4. I mean, they just had a little circle of a board. There was no place. When you're flying to the side, there's no place to hold on to keep you from flying off.
Well, just go off, catch yourself. At least it's a soft landing.
Yeah.
So do you think the NHL will do some more of these fanless, ultra-remote outdoor games?
Well, they kind of had to do that one, but the one that they could
do. Because of the pandemic,
obviously. You know, the movie Mystery Alaska was made in my home province, Alberta, and it was in a place called Canmore, named Canmore, Alberta. And I think they could do it up there or Lake Louise. Have you ever been to Lake Louise?
No.
Ooh,
it's
yeah.
one of the best looking places. That part of Canada is probably the nicest part of North America, the Pacific Northwest and that part of Canada. And they could do an outdoor game up there. And I think the way you make money off it is the ultimate sponsorship. But there you could end up with too much snow. That would be the downside of it, too. But the backdrops with the mountains and everything would be, and I think all the players would sign up for it.
Oh, I think there's no question. By the way, here is skating Lake Louise. By the way, the water is just crystal blue. But, yeah, I've seen.
Yeah, that's.
Look
that's
at that,
that's
Carol.
A glacier in the background, and normally that water's full of silt in the summertime, and it's beautiful there. And then the hotel's only about $1,000 a night.
Is there any concern that we have some sort of like human error and the ice starts to buckle a little bit? I mean, are you that confident in the testing and the temperature?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look at all the people that ice fish all the time.
Yeah, but that's people out there ice fishing. It's not a bunch of goons at once.
Imagine they put an actual rink with dasher boards, goals, everything out there, and there's a crack in it all.
Well, that's probably why. Well, that would be tough.
Be bad.
And they could make it look like they're on a lake.
You're right. Yeah.
They could take a field with the mountain backdrop and say it's a lake.
Look at that. This doesn't even look real. It looks like a video game. Look at this.
I know. I want to do that.
And look at these. Look at these tiny little kids out there in the middle of this lake, that is as smooth as glass, and turquoise blue. And there's the hotel that costs $1,000 a night. Very nice. So yeah, I was thinking they could. I always said that they should do an outdoor game on the mall, in D.C. on the reflecting pond. It's not technically wide enough, I don't think.
It's not.
Well, maybe it is. I'd have to check the dimensions. How wide is the rink, Alan?
85 by 200.
Okay.
Are you looking up?
I'll look it up
right now.
I think it looks like it's big enough.
Yeah. Of course, right now it's all fenced off, so they got to unfence it first.
Do they need to do something to change it? Because I'm already bored a little bit with the schedule of the NHL this year. Like,
what do you mean the schedule?
Same teams.
Well, no, they had to do that. Everything's pandemic related.
I know. But
at the end of it, it won't be like this in the future. We just got to get through this. The player, you got to be able to cross the border to have the Canadian teams in, and I think it works right now. I kind of like the fact that you have all the teams playing each other, like in this division, the Caps Eastern, whatever, the Mass Mutual Eastern Division. You play 8 teams, you have 7 opponents, so you play them all 8 times. That's 56 games. I think it's genius now, and
it's hockey, Carol. We can't be picky.
Well, yeah.
Thank God we got it. Right?
And the other thing is that. It's either no games or these games, and I'll take these games over no games.
When are they going to start filtering fans back in?
Some state of New York is going to start in the next couple of weeks, I believe.
What about the Capitals? DC's pretty strict,
I think DC
right?
will be the last place that opens up in North America. They're in probably Ottawa, Canada. Who knows, you know, where the Capitals are.
Good news. The reflecting pool is 56 yards wide. 56 yards wide. Plenty wide enough.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a pretty spectacular spot. Of course, the NHL, they love the money from the outdoor.
No, but you would have. That's why you'd have to like really label it for a sponsor. Would have to, because they make about $5 million a game.
Okay.
You know, $3 to $5 million a game.
Who does? The NHL?
On that. And the teams don't get that money. The league gets that money.
That's profit? That's revenue? What are we talking
about?
That's profit.
I thought they made more than that.
And for those games, because you take, say, if the Caps' average ticket price, we'll just say, we'll go lowball, we'll say 100 times 18,000, that's 1.8. Am I right?
Yeah.
You lost me. Are we supposed to do math?
I'm just nodding with him. I don't want to get in a fight.
So then you go 40,000 people at a game that's $250, like they did at Nats Park.
Right.
And you take all this. You'd have to get a sponsor. And every time you open your mouth, you'd have to say, this is the Bridgestone Winter Classic. Bridgestone Winter Classic. This is Bridgestone would have to be on every player's equipment. Bridgestone would have to be all over the ice.
I think an even better promotion is the Kraft hometown hockey barn thing. Have you ever heard of this, Carol? Tell Carol.
Well,
it's
basically
all about.
The fans in Canada and the U.S. from all these obscure locations say why they're Hockeyville or why they should be picked,
and they get a
preseason game by 2 NHL teams in all these random towns, and the money goes into the arena in those towns, and it's. kind of, it's usually in Canada, it's always a hard luck story. It seems like the arena that burnt down or something like that happened. And
so you're bringing two NHL teams to your small little town and your little rink.
It'd be like them playing in Rockville.
I've seen that movie.
Yeah, no, it's very cool. So, all right, let's talk about the league right now. Who's the best story in the league right now, in your opinion? And which players do you think are the most compelling players right now?
Well, right now the Canadian division is playing in a very – it's like four different leagues right now. And the Canadian division has Toronto. That's kind of a complete team. They've got a player – what has he got? 18 goals in 18 games right now. Auston Matthews, Connor McDavid has 37 points in about 18 games.
He's awesome.
And those two guys are – you know, Matthews will get the most goals in the year. Maybe he'll get 50 and 50. And Connor McDavid should get over 100 points in 56 games. So up there, they're playing a different brand of hockey, so those stories are really, really good. And then south of the border, I don't know what the good story is yet. you know, they just it's no one's really taken away the East where the Caps are in. The Central, there's really nothing in the Central. It's kind of a surprise. Florida's in it right now, Tampa, of course. And then on the other side, no one really cares.
Well, I used to live for Caps Pens, and I know it's tonight, and I'm not – I mean, it's not the same.
Not feeling it.
No. Do you think it will ever have the kind of rivalry?
Oh, yeah. We have to have people in the building, and
you need people. Yeah.
And
you need both
because
teams
you can
be
feel
good.
It. Because last year, just as the pandemic ended, it was a couple days before, maybe a week or two before, the Caps played the Penguins, and it was their best game of the season. Brendan Dillon, a newcomer at the time, fought Evgeny Malkin in a fight. The Caps kicked ass in that game. And, everyone was on a high for it. It was a really fun game. And it adds with the fans in the building because now it's kind of smart guy hockey. It's like X's and O's, and no one's feeding off their crowds. So in the summer, Tampa dominated sometimes in the Dallas series in the Cup final, and they wouldn't score a goal. But had they been in Tampa with their home crowd, they probably would have got four or five goals in a 5-minute segment.
Interesting. Because why?
Because it would have been overwhelming for the opposition to be hemmed in their own zone and. Mm-hmm.
The crowd would have swelled up.
And it would your senses feel way different. And I played in some games where you couldn't even yell in the player's ear beside you. And you could yell, but he couldn't hear you. And it was like awesome at the same time, but kind of sucked at the same time.
Yeah.
Just to be in an environment that was that noisy. And, you know, some places in the playoffs, once the anthem starts, they never quit cheering.
Right.
And it's so fun. Carolina kicked the Caps' ass 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't hear a damn thing in there. I had these on. I could still hear the crowd noise like you wouldn't believe with noise-canceling headphones.
Wow.
And I thought it was awesome. I had goosebumps all game, every game.
In Carolina.
And, yeah, it was awesome. It's a really good arena for noise. And when they packed the place, and one of the problems, you know, the Caps went in there for 10, 15 years, and the place was half empty or half full.
Yeah.
And then they would go there in the playoffs, and Carolina was fast. They were physical, and the place was nuts. They were doing daily tailgates because they have that NC State parking lot, and so they had country music guys and people out there. And it was we'd get there in the morning for morning skate, and people be out there drinking and partying already. And I was like, "Damn, I want to do that too."
That was the Bunch of Jerks team, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was who said that about them? It was an opposing.
Oh no, it was Don Cherry.
Don Cherry
from Hockey Night in Canada.
Because after wins, the Hurricane players were doing some sort of dance or some sort of routine, and Don Cherry, being old school, was like, "Hey, come on, act like you've been there before, you bunch of jerks!" And so they took that. Put it on the Jumbotron, made it a rallying cry, and it became sort of their thing.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It worked for a while. I didn't like the celebrations, most of them, but I get what they were doing, and they had fun with it. So it was good for their crowd. I was just happy that every team in the league didn't copy us.
Yeah.
So Unleash the Fury is going to have to hold on for a while for the Caps. How do you like their youth and speed right now?
Do they have any youth?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
no, they only got a couple. I think Jacob Vrana is young. Jacob Vrana's young. Of all the guys in the lineup, Jacob Vrana. And Tom Wilson.
Ovi looks like older than you. No offense to Ovi.
Magnificent gray mane as he takes pregame skate and the hair is flowing back. He looks like this old lion who can still kill you.
But he's still amazing. So they're not young. They're going to have to get by an experience. They have the oldest player in the league who's at about 1,560 games now in Zdeno Chara. I love watching him play. because he's still miserable every game. And
in but what way miserable?
Well, he plays the game with like snarl.
Yeah.
He's old school.
He's tough.
Yeah, he's tough, and he makes people pay. And if someone does something, he's the first guy there. So he's never changed. He hasn't changed his stripes, his spots, whatever he is. He's his own guy still.
Char is the human long stick guy in bubble hockey. You know, there's the one guy with the long stick in bubble hockey. That's Chara. 6'7" in bare
feet. 6'9". 6'9".
In bare feet. And huge reach, huge stick.
He's the strongest guy on the team.
Right.
And he's insane about his fitness, his workout regimen, what he puts in his body. He's one of those plant-based guys like Tom Brady. And he's amazing. Everything about the guy is pretty cool.
And his sticks went somewhere else. Didn't some fan?
They delivered. Somebody in New Jersey got, I think they're waiting on like something from the NBA. And they
Zdeno Chara's sticks?
Yeah.
What did he do with those?
Something like
an oversized shipment.
They wouldn't fit in this van. There's like $6,000 worth of sticks that show up. So I don't even know how many sticks that is. It's $6,000. It might be 24.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. Oh, no. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. The NBA, college basketball, NHL, yes, golf. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.com. AG. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big DraftKings fan duel, whatever. No. Johnny come latelys. My bookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know. In a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules, you name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. Now, make sure you read the rules on payouts regarding bonus wagering. It does require certain levels of wagering to collect your money. But if you just want to bet straight up, you don't want the deposit, you want to make a one-time bet for $1 million, win it, and then walk away, fine, you can do that as well. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
Back to the crowd thing. It was fascinating you said that the finals would have been a lot different if there was crowds there. That is going to hurt me as a fan the most, that these Stanley Cup playoffs this spring will not have many fans. They'll have some. Because to me, the cauldron of a NHL arena in the Stanley Cup playoffs, the way the noise swells and the emotion, you get a couple big checks, you get a push into the attacking zone where they can't clear it, and there's a shot and there's a save and one rings off the post and it starts to escalate, is one of the great things in sports, and no other sport offers that. Every other sport like baseball or football is very episodic. It's like, okay, we're gonna line up for a play, it'll be the good play or a bad play. But hockey, it flows.
It's the best in person.
Oh, God.
Well, you can't even have viewing parties outside right now. And you look at what made the Cap Stanley Cup run so amazing was, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60,000 people outside after every game, during every game, and all the people inside and, traveling. And none of that can happen right now. And then you look at those experiences. I was lucky. I grew up in Edmonton and was there in the building when they won their first Stanley Cups. And then I was in there as a player with them when they won a Stanley Cup.
Nice.
And you remember who you were with, what you were doing, and look how many people probably watch the Stanley Cup Finals alone. And with how weird everything is. So there's that. Why do you go to sports? And like for me, I'm kind of popular in the hockey community with hockey fans. So when I'm out, people know who I am. And I remember in the airport flying back from Vegas after they won, how many people came up to me and said, I went to so many games with my mom and dad, my brother, my best friend, and at the old Cap Center, and it took forever to win. So those are really heartwarming stories. People aren't going to have that about Tampa winning it this year. So hopefully they get in the buildings in the majority of the cities, and we can have people. And, Canada, I don't know, they're like 54th in the world in vaccinations.
Is that good?
They may never get it done. So they may never have people in their stands.
On the flip side, I was like $500 in when the Caps were down in Game 7 in 5 minutes to the Pens. One time I was at 20, what year was that, 2007 or 2008, where was this game seven? The tickets were expensive. We had beers, we had hats. We sit down, and it's three nothing Pens before, like,
a couple. Oh, that was in 2017, I think. In game, was it the game before?
I'm talking like 2007. I remember 2007.
Oh, that game. The first year they were good when Varley laid an egg in the.
I remember being like, this is a $1,000 night, and it's not even out of the first period. We're going to lose. Worst
Caps game seven goalie performance ever.
Yeah, that was bad. Back to the Stanley Cup here in D.C., having grown up in D.C., not far from here, Alan, on the mean streets of McLean. I never would have thought we would fill the streets for outdoor viewing, ever. Not in this town. I thought that is a Toronto thing.
I'll tell you
what.
That
is a Boston
thing.
You know,
I think how that happened, and I will pump up my network, and I think my executive producer, Bill Bell, had a lot to do with this, was he put our set outside for game five, because we'd been on the concourse, Rob Carl and myself, and then they put us outside, and we had beaten Columbus in game five, and the Caps were down the first two games of that series. Then they win that great triple overtime game in game three in Columbus. They come back, and I think Backe scored the overtime goal. And as people came outside, we were on set for an hour, and people started crowding around our set. And then every game they started coming early and hanging around our set. And then it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And by the end, you know, the NHL was here, but we had all those people outside. And then it was amazing. And I think it just – they got lucky. I don't think it would have happened if our set wasn't out there, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't a meeting place at the time. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you're out there and people are on camera. They get to see all the, like, we were bringing in different players.
And by the time the series was over, both corner streets around the Verizon Center filled to capacity.
And the fact that the building is full inside.
Yes, that was crazy.
Just so you know, Bill Bell has done this before, brought our set outside. I used to host the shows, the pre and post. I was Rob Carlin before Rob Carlin. And the problem was the team was bad, and they were always losing in the first round, and there was no people.
Well, if the team's bad, no one's going to come out in the streets.
So let's go back
There was something about, though, with Barry Trotz. Like, there was a winning feeling, and that's why when they would lose in the playoffs with Barry as the coach, it was so painful, because they were always better teams than that they should have won. There should have been multiple Stanley Cups won here. But as it got bigger and bigger, and I remember your sets that you guys used to have, it wasn't as extravagant. Remember, it was the low set.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, we kind of had the high upsets, and they
like
did everything.
College game day.
Yeah, they did. Because people started to have the heads, the big game heads behind us. So it just kind of, everything snowballed after that, and was so... You know, for me, it was kind of overwhelming. The very first game, they were chanting my name for an hour as we were on television. And, you know, we had a new boss that we didn't know at the time. And so,
you're like, wow, this is good for my.
No, it actually choked me up and put a tear in my eye, because, like, wow, this is incredible. And then, you know, I usually I'd go to the Hamilton after every game.
Okay.
Typically, and have the sushi bar is open until one. Or two on Friday and Saturday. And so I'd always go there, and the place would just be so full of Caps fans. And by the time I got there, it'd be after midnight. And I go, God, would I need a beer and have something to eat?
I was struck by all the young people that came out for the Caps games in the streets. It was the young professionals of Washington, D.C. that were super into the team. And I was like, this is really cool. And the parade, you know, I got these pictures from the parade. I mean, it was just the most glorious June day, low humidity, perfect blue skies. You know, you have a parade for the Redskins when they won. It's in the winter. You're cold. You're bundled up. One of the years it rained, so they were in buses. You couldn't see them. The Nationals parade was not a very good weather day, as I recall.
It was fine.
Was it okay?
Yeah, it was fine. I was down there calling it for the radio station.
Yeah, it was
station.
Nice. It was nice.
But I just took these pictures of all these families and all these little kids, you know, in their hockey jerseys, and it was fantastic.
Yeah. It was probably the most amazing peaceful day in D.C. ever.
Yeah, that's
where everyone was, you know, we just forgot about the garbage of politics and political news, and people were so happy from every walk of life. That was like the coolest day I've ever witnessed in my life. It was cooler than seeing the team win.
And that's why I have a pit in my stomach, to be honest, is because things are so different. And what I've always loved about sports
here's
is how...
you, by the way, Alan. I took a picture of you. You
can stalker.
I'm a journalist.
Stalker.
No, I'll give you the stalking pick in a second.
No, but the thing about sports right now is that you have this, it brings people together. It doesn't matter your economic status, your neighborhood, your proximity, everything. All these people will rally together, but we're not able to do that, even if the team wins.
It's coming. You know what, though? But every part of our life.
Sorry, I'm negative Nancy.
Nancy, every part of our life is this right now. It's impacted. And we will get back to normal, in my opinion, like what we used to do.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm convinced. And people, everyone realizes how great it is to have their freedom, their true freedom.
Yes, and plus 10% because there's a lot of pent-up desire to be out amongst people. When I was in Mexico this past week, I was drinking in front of a live band at this resort, house band. Wonderful.
With people, like outside? Yeah.
No masks anywhere. And I mean, live band drinking, people dancing, crowd, and I said, my God, this is wonderful. And I'm like, oh yeah, we used to do this all the time and not think about it. So this will come on the back side of it. By the way, you want stalker pick? There's the stalker pick. My two favorite people in DC sports media, the great Doreen Gensler and your girl, Lindsay Zarniak.
Yeah.
Bing, bang, boom. Resplendent in red right there. So there's my stalker picture.
There you go. I'll tell them both to watch out for you.
All right, what do we got from a non-hockey standpoint to talk about? What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to get your take on Cam Newton and how he
and the Punk.
How he handled that, because I know heckling is part of hockey too, and especially if you get it off.
I got a confession, because I have not. I shut my news off in June. I don't watch any television.
Good for you.
That's other than a sports game right now. I'm tired of binge watching. I think I've watched everything that's worthwhile watching.
Okay.
I can't keep, nothing holds my attention. So I have no idea what's going on in the world unless someone has to tell me and bring
me. So what happened?
This is easy.
Here's what happened. So Cam Newton was doing a football camp.
Hosting it for free. Seven on seven.
And a young punk decided to start chirping at him, saying, you're washed up, you're a free agent. And Cam took the bait, turned around and said, I'm rich. And the kid's like, you're going to be poor. You're washed up. You're ass, he said. Then Cam said, where's your dad? Went back and forth like that for an uncomfortably long amount of time. The two have since reconciled. They've both apologized.
Yeah, and everyone's like, oh, the kid learned his lesson. I was like, no, he didn't. He's like a star right now. He's a viral star right now. He got what he wanted, which was attention.
It was videotaped on the phone of one of the kid's friends, which is what is now the coin of the realm. This is what everybody wants to do. They want to get over on social media,
It's a high school punk who, disrespected Cam. And I don't think learned his lesson. And I know when you're a target out there, you get disrespected. This guy doesn't remember 5 years ago when Cam was MVP and leading Panthers to the Super Bowl. But this was his own camp.
So there it is right there.
There's got to be better comebacks than that, than to say I'm rich.
Right.
And unfortunately, the biggest thing is just you have to ask people like that to take a hike. I'm sure Cam had security, but it's easy to say in hindsight. But
isn't the better comeback just to ignore it?
Would you ever want to get in the stands and fight a heckler? Had you ever?
they did that once in the NHL, remember?
Yeah. They've done it in the NBA, too.
I've been involved in some things, but
you know you can't.
You just know you can't because there's a discipline. You're in a grocery store. Someone bangs in your shopping cart. Someone takes your parking spot. Someone honks. You know you can't do anything about it.
I don't know. Sometimes I whiz out. I whizzed out on the water utility company yesterday.
Whiz out?
Yeah.
That's what you say? Not wig out? Whiz out.
I make it whiz out.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I was thinking take a leak.
I know, right. Pretty soon we got to wrap this up. I got to go whiz out before we go sit down for lunch. You have a note here, Carol, producer Carol, always very thorough with the notes. Albert Pujols announced his retirement, but it was his wife that did it on her Instagram page. Do you have a problem with that?
Yeah.
What is it?
It was this huge hubbub where this Albert Pujols is like this, long, 10-time All-Star, I think.
Megastar, MLB player.
Straight to Cooperstown legend.
Going into spring training, first day, and the wife just trying to give him some love, but makes this announcement, just goes, and it's one thing, it's fine, but then to walk it back is when I
Does he not have an Instagram?
He commented on her post with some hearts, I think, or some kisses or something, but it became such a big story, then I'd walk back, and she had to say something like, hey, it's not the last day's ever going to play, or the last season, I'm trying to say the last season under contract, like walked it back in a way. I just thought the whole thing, I was just rolling my eyes. I was like, wives.
You're like, wives.
Wives, they should know better after, what, 23 years in baseball or whatever.
You know what, I think that Ovi's got maybe the best wife in sports, the way she handles it. Her Instagram account shows their kid and Ovi working out all the time. Their kid's gorgeous, and and you hear her laughing at the two of them all the time. So it'd be pretty nice to have that support at home. That's kind of awesome.
Yeah, well, Ovi, I have a problem with Ovi. I'll just tell it right now, and I know we have the tape. Just this.
What?
And he knows this because I called him out on it. I did a sit-down interview with him once right when he got engaged, and I talked about, you know, getting married, two beautiful, exciting people, young, becoming one boring person. We were laughing. And I said...
Hold on a second. I've never heard that. Two young, exciting people, coming together
to become
one boring person.
Sounds like a happily divorced person.
Anyway, so, and this is before, this is back, this is when he first got engaged a long time ago. So I just asked him about the best part, you know, finding your soulmate, whatever. And he goes, I get dinner on the table every day. And I was like, wah, wah.
Yeah, there's also, there's also Grubhub for that. Yeah. You know, dinner can be
You know
had.
What? They actually have an old school traditional Russian marriage. So
this to me is great. You know,
it's every day.
Watching,
it's awesome.
Watching Ovi rip slappers in his driveway, not even very fancy looking driveway. And
do you hear the laughing though?
His kid.
That's, his wife laughs at all of these. Like you can, when they won the cup, it was her that shot the video of him in bed with the cup. And I think it's think it's incredible.
Well, she did the post where after 2017, that devastating loss, we didn't know how bad his leg was injured.
They shouldn't have played,
And then, because we were all like, what's wrong with Ovi? They should trade him. The window's closing.
I didn't say that, by the way.
I know. I was on live TV on NBC right after the game when people are like, all these comments wanting me to talk about Ovi being traded or the windows closed. And I'm literally like, that was just a death. We're not talking about next year yet. But did you ever think his future with Caps was in doubt?
Never, ever. And I actually handicapped that injury before. I could tell that he wasn't moving right. And so I don't even need the players' numbers on any team in the league to tell who they are by the way they skate, the way their body moves.
Yeah.
And I could tell something was wrong. I thought it was his back, which your hamstring is basically – you know, when your back goes, your hamstring's usually not far behind. But I think you go to war with superstars every time. And, you know, he's never been derogatory to his teammates. He's never bashed any coaches. So
I would draw.
Not, but we all get mad at people. And, you know, if you can't, if a coach can't take you, tell him to go F himself every once in a while because they do it to you. It's fair game. You know, if the Ovi camera wasn't on him all the time, he would have got away with it. Because I seen Sidney Crosby go to war with his coach in the playoffs, and they won a Stanley Cup 2 years in a row, and they call him, I'm not even going to say it, they call him human fights on the bench.
And
where if you can say something, but you've got to be able to get along the next day. Now, if you have a crappy team with a bad attitude, players hold grudges.
Yeah.
And players should be able to argue and have a beer the next day. Yeah. They should be able to have a fight in practice and have a beer for lunch.
We're about to have lunch ourselves here at the Palm. Fabulous place to have lunch, Tyson's Corner. Book your reservations now. Carol, what do you recommend when they come to the Palm for a power lunch like we're about to have?
I am in love with the French onion soup here.
Okay.
And then the steak salad. That's my lunch go-to.
All right. So we're about to have lunch. Exit point about Ovi. When Brady was shown coming off the boat needing help from Gronk, the number one topic of discussion was, that's pretty good. It's not like Ovi, though, after he won the cup. Ovi has set the standard for drunken superstar celebrations after a championship because he went for five straight days, as I recall.
They all do. But he did.
Very publicly.
The best thing he did.
He was in fountains in Georgetown.
Cake
stands up at Nats Park.
I think the best part was him drinking, putting his face in the cup and drinking that beer and then coming out, and he was almost like he was drowning in beer. And then I would love to see – I think Tom Brady would win between the beer-chugging contest. Because I've heard he's legendary. He's won every beer-chugging contest he's ever been in. And the part I liked about Brady coming off the boat hammered is that it showed he's just one of us.
See, now, Carroll is anti-Brady. I want to know, did that raise his pro little bit?
I haven't seen you since the Super Bowl. I found myself rooting for him for the first time. I just had Brady fatigue for the last decade, right?
I had Brady fatigue before that, and the older I get, the more he's grown on me, and less about his clothes, less about his hair.
Thank you.
When you hear that, I don't focus on that anymore. What I focus on is his dedication to excellence. He's never had a teammate that I know of come out and bash him. It's like all the great things he's done, and it sounds like he's a superstar in every aspect of his life, and he's a hockey parent, so he can't go wrong.
He is.
I didn't know
and
that.
He goes to his kids' hockey games. He's just a regular Tom Dad. So it's kind of awesome.
Same with me. I have mad respect for him now because of what he's been able to do. I want him to continue to do it. But
yeah, well, he's married, Carol, so too bad for you.
Yuck. He's still not my type.
Still not my type.
And the Verizon commercial is the greatest. I just love the Gronk and the Brady. I saw it that morning for the first time.
Very funny, yeah.
It was awesome.
The fact that he gets people to raise up their game around him is what makes him so incredibly special.
Some people don't believe that.
I've had
people email me.
No, I believe
saying
it.
They don't believe it. I'm like, you're crazy.
You know what? If you could listen to all of his pump-up talks to his players, like if you could read his lips, but he's going too fast, and you can hear some of it, he gets guys going. And he mothers people, and I love that he gets pissed off and goes out there. Like the tweets he sent out the other day about being washed up, he took that clip of all the different talking heads, especially the one very, very annoying talking head, and he kept using his voice for saying bad things about Tom, and I just love it. It was like the GOAT tweet of all time.
That was good. All right, Alan, it was great to have you in the Free Hugs and Candy Van. We're going to get lunch here at the Palm, and hopefully it won't be the last time. Go Caps.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right.
Once again, thanks to the Palm Restaurant in Tyson's Corner for providing our power lunch inducement to bring people out to the Free Hugs and Candy Van. Go to the Palm's website, Tyson's Corner, Virginia. Book your power lunch or dinner today, and you will enjoy some succulent steak and other incredible food. We'll end on this. Flopping has gone next level. A Guatemalan third division footballer has lit social media on fire after video surfaced of him faking being hit by an object after knocking himself upside the head with a rock. Betancos's Rosbin Ramos picked up the rock from the field, or pitch, before casually smacking himself across the face with it, probably in an effort to draw blood. Ramos's bizarre efforts were unsurprisingly in vain, as none of the officials saw the incident, so no punishment was handed out. But now, according to Football 24, Guatemala's football disciplinary body, is expected to take action against Ramos over his embarrassing antics. Flopping has gone next level. Get a rock, smash your head with it, draw blood, and go, oh my God, there's someone in the fan. Now, if the fans throw a rock at a visiting stadium, does the home team get penalized for fan conduct? Soccer fanatics, help me out on this. I don't know what leagues have what rules. I bet there might be something in that, but it could be too hard to police because, look, that would be a great way to give your team an advantage is you go to a road stadium, dress as a fan of the other team, bring a couple rocks in your pocket or whatever you can smuggle in, throw them on the pitch, and then get your team an advantage. But that's next level right there. There's flopping. Here's the levels of flopping. There's generic flopping, which is selling the call. There is LeBron flopping, which is next level. Then there is Neymar flopping. And then at the top is this guy, old Rosbin Ramos. Old rock to the head, Rosbin Ramos. All right, that is a wrap for today. Thank you so much for being a listener and loyalist to the Zabecast. As always, subscribe to get a full 5 days a week, not just four. Go to zabe.com/premium. I really appreciate each and every one of you who part with your hard-earned $5 a month to be a subscriber. And if you sign up for a year at once, you get 12 months for the price of 11. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great Wednesday, and we will see you tomorrow. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. Oh, no, 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 no. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. The NBA, college basketball, NHL, yes, golf. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big DraftKings, FanDuel, whatever. No, 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 no. Johnny come latelys. My bookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules, you name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. Now, make sure you read the rules on payouts regarding bonus wagering. It does require certain levels of wagering to collect your money. But if you just want to bet straight up, you don't want the deposit, you want to make a one-time bet for $1 million, win it, and then walk away, fine. You can do that as well. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.